Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais with another episode of The Week That Was on The Yakking Show. This is our weekly wrap-up telling you who we've had on as guests and who's coming. And this is for the week ending the 12th of April, 2024. And I've got to tell you, the sun's shining. We hit 22 degrees Celsius yesterday. It's a little cooler today, but summer seems to be on its way, which we're very happy about. So first, let's welcome Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you so much. And yes, it is a beautiful day. That sunshine just feels so good.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Have you got a cat tidbit for today?
Yes, I guess I do. Oh, my goodness. So for today, our cat tidbit is, purring and roaring are mutually exclusive. Big cats such as lions, tigers, leopards, and jaguars can't purr. And stay-at-home kitties might get miffed, but will never roar.
that's interesting. But the big cats, the lions and leopards, do a sort of throaty rumble.
Yeah,
it's not a roar, and I would have thought it was more like a purr than anything else. They sort of do a vibrating thing. Makes you a little nervous if you hear that in the bush, let me tell you. Anyway. Are we going to tell our audience?
Are you speaking from experience?
Oh yeah.
Tell us.
I've heard lions quite close. I don't know how close. We couldn't see them, but I've heard that throaty before they start to roar. Sort of. It's hard to describe. People who've heard it will know what I'm talking about. I've heard that, and that sound doesn't carry very far. But it was in thick bush, so I don't know how far away they were.
And for those of you who are watching this and really don't understand, Peter is from Zimbabwe, so firsthand.
I call myself a Rhodesian, which is when I had those experiences in the bush and got close to all sorts of wildlife. But this episode is not about me. This is about what happened on the Yakking Show this week. So. We had a very interesting guest on Tuesday, or the episode that was published on Tuesday, Dr. Stephen Davidson, who is a clinical sexologist, and he spoke about why relationships suffer from lack of intimacy, all sorts of problems, and he's really good. And he explores, his topic is sexual integrity, and he says that a lot of people are not honest in their relationships, and this leads to all sorts of problems. So I'm not a psychologist. I don't know enough about that side of things. It's a tricky subject to talk about when one is unqualified, because I can see all sorts of minefields down the road if I get too involved in that. So let me tell you, the best thing you can do is watch the episode or listen to it. There's links in the newsletter and find out more about it. And Dr. Davidson also wrote a book, and it's called In Sexual Integrity, Find the Courage to Be Yourself. And there'll be a link in the newsletter and on the blog post, and so you can get a copy of that book. It's available on Amazon. Very good book. Kathleen, you got anything to add about, do you want to step through the minefield and see?
It's not really a minefield, but I mean, it's an interesting topic for sure. And for those of you who are a little bit uncomfortable talking about, I mean, I think we were at the beginning, but he's very, he's pretty laid back and just speaks very comfortably about sex. And that's what this topic is about. So you'll probably want to tune in.
That's right. That's right. It's certainly interesting. Then we didn't have an episode on Thursday because we are getting towards the end of our former premium members episodes. We've got a couple of episodes of Success Secrets still to come out, and then we'll be starting a new one with Success Health Secrets that we're working on. So next week's guest will be Kimberly Beam, and Kimberly is a coach. She helps people live more fulfilling lives. She's multi-talented. She's a beacon of wisdom in intuition coaching, mindfulness, and healing arts. So that's one to watch out for coming up Tuesday next week. That's about it for me, except as always, we have a lot of interesting guests coming over the next few weeks and months. Many guests in the pipeline. To make sure you don't miss out on guests, hop onto the website, theyakingshow.com, hit the purple button on the homepage, and sign up for our newsletter. We only send you one email a week, but we'll tell you who's on this week and who's coming next week. That's it from me. Thanks for watching. And now back to Kathleen for our health tip of the week.
Well, Peter, I read an interesting article, and it's from the Epoch Times, and I believe you're going to put the link to that article in this video. But it's all about colorectal cancer and how colorectal cancer is striking young people. And they believe that there are some new exposures that may be fueling it. So let me just give you a little bit of some background here. So overall, colorectal cancer incidence are decreasing, actually, but surprisingly, the incidence among young people is on the rise. If you're diagnosed before the age of 50, it's known as early onset colorectal cancer. And over the past 2 to 3 decades, the incidence of early onset colorectal cancer has increased at a rate of 1 to 2% per year, while mortality rates have also increased by 1% per year, according to the American Cancer Society. And today, colorectal cancer is the leading cause of cancer death in men under 50, and it ranks second only to breast cancer in women under 50. So abnormal cells in the gut lining can grow into polyps, and we've heard of people having colonoscopies and they've observed polyps, which have been removed, thankfully. But some polyps may become cancer after 10 to 15 years. So subsequently, they can metastasize to nearby lymph nodes or other parts of the body. And the large intestine is the final part of the digestive system. The first 5 feet are called colon, and the last 6 inches are called the rectum. So the early onset colorectal cancer is a little bit different from other colorectal cancer. It's more likely to occur in the lowest part of the colon and the rectum. Patients tend to present symptoms like rectal bleeding and changes in bowel habits. The major risk factors are genetics and obesity, but they're now discovering that there's some early life exposure to risk factors that are believed to have a significant impact on the increased incidence of colon cancer and other cancers. And some of these are widespread use of antibiotics, especially in children, modernized dietary habits, high consumption of added sugars, including sweetened beverages and high fructose corn syrup, the widespread use of food additives like MSG, titanium dioxide, and synthetic food dyes, exposure to bright lights and night at night, and changes in sleep patterns. Imagine that. Yeah, I had, like, who knew, right? Other experiences and exposures in early life during this period may also be associated with early onset cancers, such as cesarean section.
Interesting.
Infant formula often replacing breast milk, increased maternal age at first and last childbirth, and abdominal radiation therapy. And I thought that was rather interesting. So that's it from me, Peter. Yeah.
It that all of those possible causes are logical, except for the bright light. That's a
Yeah.
strange one, isn't it? Exposure to bright light. How would that correlate with
Well,
increasing cancer in the gut?
my guess is anything to do that inhibits your sleep patterns, right? Anything that disrupts sleep, because sleep is so vitally important for healing. That's when we do most of our healing, is when we sleep. And anything that's my guess. That's my guess is that a disrupted sleep patterns affect hormones, right? So it just can kind of snowball into other areas too. So,
True. Very concerning, though, that, and it's not the only cancer that's increasing in younger people. There's a number of other cancers which we can talk about in future episodes.
sure.
And of course, the elephant in the room, and I'm going to mention it, although it's controversial, is vaccines. And I'm not talking about just the jab, as it's known, But the number of vaccinations that or vaccines that children get compared to children of my generation, where I think we got four, maybe five vaccines with a couple of repeats. You know, now I believe the average North American child gets 53 different vaccines before it becomes he or she becomes a teenager. And there's lots of concern about the side effects of those vaccines, and this could
Absolutely.
well be one of them. And just a word of warning or a word of advice for anyone who has abdominal problems and who gets recommended by their doctor to have a colonoscopy. I've had a couple in my lifetime, and it's not bad. Let me tell you, it's not as bad as it sounds. And I also had a polyp in the last one a year ago, which they removed. It was not
See?
cancerous, but at least they got it out. So if
I've
your
had one
doctor
too,
says have a
Peter.
colonoscopy, bite the bullet and get it done.
That's right. And I've had the same procedure, and it's you really have no recollection. I mean, they sedate you so well that you just have absolutely no recollection of what's happened to you. So
That's
thankfully.
right. It's not at all bad
No.
compared to the one I had 50 years ago, which was not a very pleasant experience, but we won't go into that. That's it's much easier nowadays. And that's about it. We've told you who's coming next week. Kathleen, have you got any final words?
Well, if anyone, you know, Peter, we're always interested in some really fantastic guests on this show that are experts in their field, especially when it comes to health and alternative health. We want to hear from them. So if any of you are interested in being a guest on our show, we invite you to visit us at theyakkingshow.com. Please click on the contacts tab and fill out an application form. And that's it for me, Peter.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. Goodbye to everybody.
Bye-bye. Until next time.